Welcome to day 240 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we are reading in the book of Ezekiel. Yesterday, when we began the book of Ezekiel, we read from the first through the fourth chapters, and we found ourselves at the very end of chapter 4 listening to a story about how Ezekiel was instructed by God to basically display an object lesson before the people, or you could say he performed a prophetic act that was to speak symbolically by visual picture to the people of Israel about what was coming. And that prophetic act or object lesson that Ezekiel was asked by the Lord to perform was a very difficult one. He was to lie on his left side for 390 days, which were to represent the 390 years of sin of the house of Israel. And then he was to lie on his right side for 40 years to represent the 40 years of the sin or iniquity of the house of Judah. And so he appointed Ezekiel to do this to be a visual object lesson to the Israelites that were now captives in Babylon. And he was also to take a brick or a tile, depending on the translation you're reading, and draw a picture of Jerusalem on it, and then set up a miniature siege against the city of Jerusalem with an iron wall and encampments and this battering rams around it, essentially showing the people who are living in Babylon that the city of Jerusalem that they had left was going to be utterly destroyed. So the prophet was asked to do these symbolic things, to speak a message to the people, the Israelites that were living now in the land of Babylon. And the essential message of it was to show that the city of Jerusalem was going to be totally desolated, completely destroyed, burned with fire, and all of it. And that was the message that he was to deliver. And in chapter 5 that we'll read today, we're going to see Ezekiel performing another object lesson. And this one has to do with shaving his head and various things that he'll do that are explained in the text. But this is a prophet who, like Jeremiah, was asked, and like Isaiah, was asked to do these prophetic acts or perform these object lessons in the sight of the people so that they would not only hear the words spoken, but see it visually and get a revelation that God was about to do something very serious. And so we're going to hear that today as we begin in Ezekiel chapter 5, starting at the first verse. As for you, son of man, take a sharp sword. Take and use it as a barber's razor on your head and beard. Then take scales for weighing and divide the hair. One third you shall burn in the fire at the center of the city when the days of the siege are completed. Then you shall take one third and strike it with the sword all around the city, and one third you shall scatter to the wind, and I will unsheath a sword behind them. Take also a few in number from them and bind them in the edges of your robes. Take again some of them and throw them into the fire and burn them in the fire. From it a fire will spread to all the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her at the center of the nations with lands around her. But she has rebelled against my ordinances more wickedly than the nations, and against my statutes more than the lands which surround her. For they have rejected my ordinances and have not walked in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have more turmoil than the nations which surround you, and have not walked in my statutes, nor observed my ordinances, nor observe the ordinances of the nations which surround you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against you, and I will execute judgments among you in the sight of the nations. And because of all your abominations, I will do among you what I have not done, and the like of which I will never do again. Therefore, fathers will eat their sons among you, and sons will eat their fathers, for I will execute judgments on you and scatter all your remnant to every wind. So, as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable idols and with all your abominations, therefore I will also withdraw, and my eye will have no pity, and I will not spare. 1/3 of you will die by plague or be consumed by famine among you. 1/3 will fall by the sword around you, and 1/3 I will scatter to every wind, and I will unsheath a sword behind them. Thus my anger will be spent, and I will satisfy my wrath on them, and I will be appeased. Then they will know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal when I have spent my wrath upon them. Moreover, I will make you a desolation and a reproach among the nations which surround you, in the sight of all who pass by. So it will be a reproach, a reviling, a warning, and an object of horror to the nations who surround you, when I execute judgments against you in anger, wrath, and raging rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken. When I send against them the deadly arrows of famine, which were for the destruction of those whom I will send to destroy you, then I will also intensify the famine upon you and break the staff of bread. Moreover, I will send on you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you of children. Plague and bloodshed also will pass through you, and I will bring the sword on you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Chapter 6. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them, and say, Mountains of Israel, listen to the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the ravines, and the valleys, Behold, I myself am going to bring a sword on you, and I will destroy your high places. So your altars will become desolate, and your incense altars will be smashed, and I will make your slain fall in front of your idols. I will also lay the dead bodies of the sons of Israel in front of their idols, and I will scatter your bones around your altars. In all your dwellings, cities will become waste, and the high places will be desolate, that your altars may become waste and desolate, your idols may be broken and brought to an end, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be blotted out. The slain will fall among you, and you will know that I am the Lord. However, I will leave a remnant. For you will have those who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered among the countries. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations to which they will be carried captive. How I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts, which turned away from me, and by their eyes, which played the harlot after their idols. And they will loathe themselves in their own sight for the evils which they have committed, for all their abominations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I have not said in vain that I would inflict this disaster on them. Thus says the Lord God, Clap your hand, stamp your foot, and say, Alas! Because of all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, which will fall by sword, famine, and plague, he who is far off will die by the plague, and he who is near will fall by the sword, and he who remains and is besieged will die by the famine. Thus will I spend my wrath on them. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when their slain are among their idols around their altars, on every high hill, on all the tops of the mountains, under every green tree, and under every leafy oak, the places where they offered soothing aroma to all their idols. So throughout all their habitations, I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land more desolate and waste than the wilderness toward Diblah. Thus they will know that I am the Lord. Chapter 7. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, An end! The end is coming on the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways and bring all your abominations upon you. For my eye will have no pity on you, nor will I spare you, but I will bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, A disaster, unique disaster, behold, it is coming. An end is coming. The end has come. It has awakened against you. Behold, it has come. Your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come. The day is near. Tumult rather than joyful shouting on the mountains. Now I will shortly pour out my wrath on you and spend my anger against you, judge you according to your ways and bring on you all your abominations. My eye will show no pity, nor will I spare. I will repay you according to your ways. While your abominations are in your midst, then you will know that I, the Lord, do the smiting. Behold the day, behold it is coming. Your doom has gone forth. The rod has budded, arrogance has blossomed. Violence has grown into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, none of their people, none of their wealth, nor anything eminent among them. The time has come, the day has arrived. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is against all their multitude. Indeed, the seller will not regain what he sold as long as they both live, for the vision regarding all their multitude will not be averted, nor will any of them maintain his life by his iniquity. They have blown the trumpet and made everything ready, but no one is going to the battle, for my wrath is against all their multitude. The sword is outside, and the plague and the famine are within. He who is in the field will die by the sword. Famine and the plague will also consume those in the city. Even when their survivors escape, they will be on the mountains like doves of the valley, all of them mourning, each over his own iniquity. All hands will hang limp, and all knees will become like water. They will gird themselves with sackcloth, and shuddering will overwhelm them, and shame will be on all the faces, and baldness on all their heads. They will fling their silver into the streets, and their gold will become an abhorrent thing. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their appetite, nor can they fill their stomachs, for their iniquity has become an occasion of stumbling. They transformed the beauty of his ornaments into pride, and they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things with it. Therefore, I will make it an abhorrent thing to them. I will give it into the hands of the foreigners as plunder, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they will profane it. I will also turn my face from them, and they will profane my secret place. Then robbers will enter and profane it. Make the chain, For the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Therefore, I will bring the worst of the nations, and they will possess their houses. I will also make the pride of the strong ones cease, and their holy places will be profaned. When anguish comes, they will seek peace, but there will be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be added to rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will be lost from the priest and counsel from the elders. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with horror, and the hands of the people of the land will tremble. According to their conduct, I will deal with them, and by their judgments, I will judge them, and they will know that I am the Lord. Chapter 8. It came about in the sixth year, on the fifth day of the sixth month, as I was sitting in my house, with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord fell on me there. Then I looked, and behold, a likeness as the appearance of a man. From his loins downward there was the appearance of fire, and from his loins and upward the appearance of brightness, like the appearance of glowing metal. He stretched out the form of a hand and caught me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the idol of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy, was located. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the appearance which I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, raise your eyes now toward the north. So I raised my eyes toward the north, and behold, to the north of the altar gate was this idol of jealousy at the entrance. And he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations which the house of Israel are committing here, so that I would be far from my sanctuary? But yet you will see still greater abominations. Then he brought me to the entrance of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. He said to me, Son of man, now dig through the wall. So I dug through the wall, and behold, an entrance. And he said to me, Go in and see the wicked abominations that they are committing here. So I entered and looked, and behold, every form of creeping thing and beasts and detestable things with all the idols of the house of Israel were carved on the wall all around. Standing in front of them were 70 elders of the house of Israel, with Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, standing among them. Each man with his censer in his hand, and the fragrance of the cloud of incense rising. Then he said to me, Son of man, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel are committing in the dark, each man in the room of his carved images? For they say, The Lord does not see us, the Lord has forsaken the land. And he said to me, Yet you will see still greater abominations which they are committing. Then he brought me to the entrance of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. He said to me, Do you see this, son of man? Yet you will see still greater abominations than these. Then he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the entrance to the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they were prostrating themselves eastward toward the sun. He said to me, Do you see this, son of man? Is it too light a thing for the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they have committed here, that they have filled the land with violence and provoked me repeatedly? For behold, they are putting the twig to their nose. Therefore, I indeed will deal in wrath. My eye will have no pity, nor will I spare. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet I will not listen to them. This is the end of today's scripture reading. As we take a look at the chapters that we read today, we have to remember the setting in which Ezekiel the prophet gave forth his prophetic words and the prophetic signs that the Lord had him accomplish in the eyes of the Israelites. First of all, remember Ezekiel had been taken into captivity with a group of people from Jerusalem in the second band of people that were taken off to Babylon. Daniel had gone in the first group that had been taken some 9 years before Ezekiel. Then the Babylonians returned, laid siege to the city, punished the king who had rebelled against the Babylonian king, and took a group of captives a second time, and Ezekiel was in that group. So now we have Ezekiel, the young prophet. He was young when he began his ministry, about 30 years old, and he is receiving these absolutely amazing visions from the Lord, and he is speaking forth what he sees and what God tells him to say. In the beginning of the reading today in chapter 5, we find that the Lord is having him shave off his hair and his beard, and then take a third of it and burn it, and a third of it and scatter it to the wind, and a third of it and strike it with a sword. And by doing this, he is symbolically showing the people that are in Babylon what is going to happen to Jerusalem that they have left. Because at the time that Ezekiel is doing these prophetic signs or showing them these object lessons that the Lord's instructing him to do, at that time there were some false prophets going around telling the captives that were in Babylon, don't worry, this will be over soon. We're all going back to Jerusalem. It's all going to be good. They were falsely giving hope to the captives, telling them everything's going to be fine. We're all going back to Jerusalem. But that was absolutely a lie, and it was not God's word. God was telling them the truth through Ezekiel, that the reality was that anybody who's left in Jerusalem is going to end up perishing by the sword or perishing by the plague, some type of pestilence, or dying in famine. Or being scattered to some far off country. And so that's what these symbolic acts that he performed in their sight were speaking to the people. He was giving them a reality check of what was really going to happen. And because of this, he was a very unpopular prophet. That people like to listen to the people who are telling them all's going to be well, but that was not the reality. Then we find in this 8th chapter, Ezekiel once again getting a very strong picture or vision from the Lord while he was sitting in his own house, but he was sitting with the elders of Judah, and the hand of the Lord fell on him. And then he began to get this amazing vision where God stretched out his hand, picked him up literally by a lock of his hair, of his head, and carried him over to Jerusalem. And it says that the Lord took him in the spirit to the north gate, and then he began to see what was going on back in Jerusalem, where he was no longer living and had been out of that place for some years. And he begins to see what's going on, and what's going on is very disturbing. There are idols set up in God's temple. There are elders and priests that are committing horrible acts of idolatry right in the temple, inside the temple, between the porch and the altar, and in the inner sanctuary. They are prostrating themselves to the sun. 25 of these men who are between the porch and the altar. And God is showing them how there are literal idols and abominations that have been set up in God's temple so that the people are so completely given over to idol worship that even the priests that were left there were doing it as well. It's no longer just the people in the city or in the countryside that are bowing down to idols that they've gotten influenced by the people around them from the other nations. Now, the actual priests themselves are doing it also. And so God is showing them how completely and utterly apostate the Israelites have become there. And the Lord showed this vision to Ezekiel so that he could clearly state to the people, this is why the destruction is coming on Jerusalem. God is telling them, do you see this, son of man? Is it too light a thing for the house of Judah to commit abominations, which they've committed here, that they filled the land with violence and provoked me repeatedly? Therefore, I indeed will deal in wrath. So God explains, this is why the city of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The people are going to be scattered to the four winds. And that is why the judgment has come upon the people of Judah. One of the most outstanding verses to me as we read today was this verse that we find in chapter 7, verse 19. It says, they will fling their silver into the streets, and their gold will become an abhorrent thing. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. That's a fascinating statement. The people had gathered silver and gold. They had become wealthy. They had material possessions and prosperity. And yet when the day came that God's wrath, his anger, his judgment was going to come on them because they had so utterly and completely turned their backs on God, their gold and their silver, their wealth, their material possessions, their positions of power in Jerusalem would not be able to deliver them. Imagine such a situation. What is happening today in our time, we know, are indicators that the end times, or the times where God will send his son Jesus back to the earth as prophesied in the Bible and by Jesus himself, that one day he would return. When that day comes and God comes to the earth again, there will be people who will fling their silver and their gold into the street because it won't be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. God is sending his son to return. There is a second coming of Christ. And at that point, the people who have given their lives to Christ, who have made their hearts and their lives God's alone, and those who have had no time for God, and those who have had no interest in God, those who have turned their backs on God and pursued their own lusts and their own desires and their own wants with no thought to their Creator, will literally find themselves in a very interesting position, because the Bible tells us that God will separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep are those who have followed their shepherd, the good shepherd. And the goats are those who've had no interest whatsoever in even having a shepherd. And when that day comes and that separation comes, and God is going to bring a judgment to the earth, and those who have followed Christ, not because they were perfect, but because Christ is perfect and he's given us his goodness and his justification through his blood and made us like unto him because of his goodness and faithfulness, those people who have placed their trust in what Christ has done for us on the cross, those people will go with the Lord. And those people who have never had time for God, who've pursued their own lusts and pursued false gods, so to speak, and idols of money and wealth and position and power, those people will be in shock, because they'll be astonished that what the Christians said was really true, what the Bible said was really true. They'll be in shock for sure. And nothing they possess, no gold, no silver, no wealth, no position, no power, will be able to deliver them in the day of God's judgment at the end of the world. Many people don't think anything about that. They think, oh, life just goes on, nothing's going to happen, people die, you go in the ground, that's the end of it. But that's not true. And the Bible clearly states that that is not the case, that there is a day of judgment, and that God will separate the sheep from the goats, and that there is an eternal life. You do continue to live after your physical body dies. Where you spend that eternity is completely up to you. And if you've placed your trust in Christ, then you'll have the joy of hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." But the others who have never chosen Christ will be sent away into utter darkness, the Bible says, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's eternal separation from God. That is hell. And people may not like to hear that or believe that God would ever create hell. But remember, the Bible tells us that hell was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't created for man. God never intended for man to go to hell, ever. God's intention was to live eternally with those who have come into a love relationship with him. But he has given people a free will, and they can choose to follow the devil and his angels and everything that represents the kingdom of darkness if they desire. God allows the choice. But those who have chosen Christ, who have chosen to follow after God, will have the joy of eternal life with him. And we won't have to try to buy our own deliverance, because we have been bought with a price. We have been bought with the blood of Jesus, and that will deliver us in the day of God's judgment. But for the others, like this scripture says in Ezekiel 7:19, their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. And this is a sobering statement. This is the sobering truth of the Word of God. And it encourages me to pray more and be more diligent to pray for my relatives, for my friends, for those I know who I am confident have no relationship with the Lord. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Think about those people that you know, people within your circle of friends, acquaintances, relatives, who do not have a relationship with Christ, who do not follow after the Lord. And I want to strongly encourage you, spend some time today praying for them and praying for an opening, an open door to be able to speak words of life and truth to them, because it's God's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing. That's not his will. It's not his desire. It's not his joy in any possible way. But he never forces anybody to follow him. So if people haven't chosen to follow him, they'll never be with him in eternity. So we need to be prayerful. We need to be diligent. We need to pray for God to bring somebody into the life of our loved ones who don't know the Lord, that they might also respond to the invitation of God's love and mercy and into relationship with Christ Jesus. God bless you and give you a victorious week.